We see this quite clearly in the case of Christianity, especially in the case of the Roman Catholic Church. Originally, Christians constituted, in the very, very, very early days, a kind of spiritual community known as the Ecclesia, for afterwards came to be known as the Church, not in the sense of the building, but the community of people. And this spiritual community, this Ecclesia, grew steadily for several hundred years. And at first it was rather an underground sort of movement, even in the literal sense, inhabiting sometimes the catacombs. But gradually, this spiritual community, the early Christians, they came more and more out into the open. For one reason or another, we're not going to go into that now, they attracted more and more people, and they spread into most parts of the Roman Empire. And in the 4th century, this spiritual community, this ecclesia, this church became the official religion. Christianity became the official religion of the whole Roman Empire. And other religions were prohibited, proscribed. Heresy was prohibited. Though, of course, it wasn't always easy, even in those days, to determine what was and what was not heresy. And gradually the church came to exercise temporal power. According to the Gospels, that is, say, 3 out of 4 Gospels, Christ himself had rejected temporal power. It was one of the 3 things with which the devil had tempted him in the wilderness, and he rejected that temptation. But the church was unable to follow his example. And this wasn't just a question of the weakness of human nature. It was due to the self-contradictory nature of Christianity itself. Christians recognized both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Both together constitute the Christian Bible. The Old Testament teaches a God of power rather than a God of love, teaches a God of battles, a God who encourages his followers, his worshippers, in this case the Jews, the children of Israel, to kill, to slaughter their enemies. But the New Testament teaches a God of love rather than a God of power, teaches to forgive one's enemies. And obviously, you cannot follow both at the same time. So as the church started exercising temporal power, it was only natural that it should, in effect, represent the God of power rather than the God of love, because the God of love could not be represented anyway. And it was therefore only natural, one might say, that the church should have started coercing people, coercing them into accepting what the church taught. And only natural, therefore, that it should cease, step by step, to be a spiritual community and become a group, especially in the case of the Roman Catholic Church. Because the Roman Catholic Church regarded itself as inheriting, even technically, legally, the political power of the Western Roman Empire. And the head of the Roman Catholic Church was, of course, is still the Pope. Originally, the Pope was just Bishop of Rome. Then, a few centuries later, he became Vicar of Christ. And Vicar, of course, means representative. A few years ago, I believe even here in London, there was a controversial play called The Representative by a German playwright. And the representative in question was the then Pope, or the Pope who was Pope during the last war, Pope Pius XII. And the play dealt mainly with his refusal as Pope, as head of the Roman Catholic Church, to condemn Hitler's massacre of the Jews. And in this play, the author seems to be criticizing the Pope for not acting as the representative of the God of love. But the criticism is really rather besides the point, because a representative cannot represent the God of love. He can only represent the God of power. And this is certainly shown by the behavior of the popes in the course of the Middle Ages. The popes during the Middle Ages, and even right down to the last century, claims to be vice regents of God, claims to exercise complete political control over kings and princes, and at times actually did this. They raised armies, They fought battles, and sometimes they, that is to say the popes, led their troops in person into battle. They launched a number of crusades against the Muslims. They even launched a crusade against the wretched and unfortunate Albigenses of southern France. And worst of all, perhaps, the popes founded the Inquisition, through which they tried to enforce uniformity of belief. I read just a few days ago that a month ago there was celebrated, if that is the word, the 500th anniversary of the foundation of the Spanish Inquisition. And a group of people in Spain, I further read, had got together and had called upon the Spanish bishops to express publicly their regret for what the Spanish Inquisition had done in the course of its career. The bishops refused. So, heretics were persecuted by the Inquisition and other agencies of the Catholic Church, and in the course of centuries, many millions of people were cruelly slaughtered, many of them being even tortured to death. And during the Middle Ages, one might say, and even afterwards, the Roman Catholic Church behaved in every way like a power structure of the worst type, and virtually the only trace of Christianity as a spiritual community was to be found in the monasteries. But that is another story, and in any case, the monasteries themselves, in due course, became corrupted.